Hello, friends, back again. And I wanted to just share some thoughts about certainty and uncertainty. It's not rocket science to know that we're in some uncertain times, depending on what viewpoint you're looking at it from. There's no doubt that in the natural, there's uncertainty. And a lot of people are running around frightened, scared, confused, and just losing hope. You know, I talk to people every day around the medical field, and they don't really have solid answers when it comes to COVID or anything else for that matter. All they can do is deploy their training. And then when their training comes to an end, they're pretty lost. And we're talking about top level medical professionals. You know, they've been trained in schooling and then through experience, and then that comes to an end at some point because you can only utilize what you've known from the past in the present. You can only deploy it. You can only invoke it. You can only apply it. That which you've walked through from your past experience and through your past knowledge or understanding. And, you know, I talk to people that are just really, really freaked out. You know, they're frightened by all the rioting. They're frightened by the uncertainty of job loss. And now the rioters have looted all of these stores. And some of these stores is where some of these people were hoping to go back to work too. You know, the high-end stores all the way to Walmart that just got burned down in Central California. And so, you know, there's definitely uncertainty, and there's no doubt about it. Anybody that doesn't acknowledge that has their head in the sand and they're in denial, because we see it all around us. You know, the news doesn't lie, so to speak, when it shows raw video. Now, we know that they can manipulate things to their own cause and for monetary gain. And it's unfortunate that they do that in times like these. But for the most part, when you see raw footage, that's what it is. And so obviously we see a lot of violence going on, a lot of frustration and anger and wrath and rage. All of those things come from a certain level of understanding. And, you know, when it comes to acting out, some of that stuff goes back in the lineage all the way down the bloodline to hundreds and hundreds of years back. Whether you believe that or not, it's just fact. It's just science has already proven that stuff can come through that lymphatic fluid, so to speak, in the spirit, but also in the natural through the mama's womb and the DNA of the cellular level, the memory of which carries through the DNA, and people through that bloodline will act out certain things, whether it's frustration, rage, violence, psychopathic, sociological disorders, and all the rest. Anger and just frustration and rage carried down the line. So when you're looking at race issues, that could very well come to play. And again, I'm going to say this again on this one, this message, just as, like I did the other one where I talked about global uprising. I don't pretend to understand what the racial issues, that the depth of that pain, for the blacks and certain racial or certain lineage things, you know, the thought processes and the mentalities and all of that. I don't pretend to understand what that, the depth of that frustration. But what I will say is that I am for the oppressed. I am for the downtrodden. I am for the mentally oppressed and mentally, you know, those that have been downtrodden, those that have been controlled and dominated. And I'm for the people, groups of the world that are being mistreated. And I think you would do an injustice to anyone to say that you're not. In other words, I'm against the bully at any level, and I'm for those that have been mistreated. And I think I'm in good company when I say that Jesus is and was as well. Now, having said that, there is a way there is a way to bring about real reformation and transformation and change, and that the only way is through love, tangible love. Rage and violence and hatred and anger will never win the day. They may be acting out. Certain people may be acting out right now because they don't know any other way to release the pain. That's all they know how to do. And so uncertainty fuels the frustration and it brings somebody to the point of breaking. So when you have somebody like our brother George Floyd get suffocated out, then it's just a tipping point that was pushed over the edge of something that was boiling all along for hundreds of years down the lineage line. Now, when I hear people say, well, you know what? That was 400 years ago. I have nothing to do with that. I'm not racist. Listen, if you were truly honest, if everybody listening to this and everybody upon the face of the mind is truly honest, we have some kind of prejudice somewhere down deep in our underneath of our cellular memory here. Underneath the surface of it all, we always deal with some sort of biases, prejudices, racism, whatever it may be on certain levels. Some are less, some are more, depending on your upbringing, depending on your viewpoint, your worldview, and all the rest. The point is, we all struggle. I don't care how free you think you are. We all struggle at some level with some of this stuff. Because we don't know what we don't know. We don't know what's underneath the surface of something that was carried down the line hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago, that was passed through. And that's why we talk about, some people talk about generational curses and all that. Look, I get it. Jesus is our new bloodline. He has cleansed the bloodline. But there's some stuff that's being worked out of our souls, friends. If you think you've reached perfection in the way that you have no more flaws or flawed thinking, well, yeah, Jesus paid the price and he has made us complete, but we still need to work through some things by his grace and his empowerment and his love salve upon our lives so that we can be illuminated to the fact that we still have warts. You know what I'm saying? We still have hurts, pains, and woundings that are at deep levels that are brought to the surface in times like these. And when they're brought to the surface in times like these, we get to see them front and center right in the mirror and we go, OMG. I'm still full of it. And when we see that and acknowledge that we have issues, acknowledge that we are still dealing with pain, every single one of us, every single person that's listening to this is still dealing with some level of pain. No, I'm not, John. I'm righteous. Righteous are cleansed and I'm complete in Christ. And, you know, I'm perfected. The finished work has already cleansed me. Past, present, and future, my sins are forgiven. And I've reached a level of mature perfection. Who are you talking about, John? That's not me. Just by you thinking that or saying that, you are a self-righteous one. I'll tell you that. Why can I confidently say that? Well, because if you fast your brains out and you've studied scripture until you're blue in the face and you've had all the best of the best religious training on the planet, you went to all the best schools there are around in religious circles and you crossed all your T's and dotted all your I's, you are still a hunk of flesh, my friend. You are still a hunk of ego that's being dealt with on every single level. I don't care how long you've been in the ministry. I don't care how long you've been a senior leader, you know, leading thousands and thousands of people and you have millions of followers. Good for you. Good for you. That's wonderful. But you're not perfect. You haven't been perfected yet because you're still breathing and you're still in a suit called the dirt man. And when you're in a suit called the dirt man, you live and abide and dwell in this issue called maturity. Maturing. You're always maturing, always developing, always having revelatory insight and foresight. And God allows us to see our pain at the deepest levels. And that, my friend, takes a lifetime. Now, we may become more loving and more kind and more filled with the fruit of the Spirit in our actions. And we should be growing and maturing in that. But until we drop this dirt man and become 100% pure consciousness and allow the spirit outside of our body to lead the way at every second of every moment of every day, that's not striving. That's not scripture memorization alone, that is called surrender, and a continual surrender. And some people grow a little faster than others, depending on how much they're defending their own levels of understanding, how much they're defending their own ego, and they don't even realize it. So yeah, uncertainty, of course. We live in the natural in uncertainty because we live in a dirt body. We live in a dirt man. We live in this body called the flesh, and ego dominating most of our lives if we're not careful to allow it to continue. So what do we do? What do we do in situations like this? Well, it's simple, really, and most of us miss it. Most of us miss it. The simplicity of becoming a child and surrender and allowing the moment present to be here, the present moment of living in this breath of the moment and surrendering to it each and every moment. That, my friend, is so simple, we miss it. And when we still ourselves to release that pain that arises in us by being still, because it will rise, and an ego will actually draw it to the surface because ego doesn't know how to be still. But your spirit man is greater than your ego, dominating that area of our lives that we're made of, which is spirit. And so spirit, when it's allowed to come forth and reign supreme through surrender and allow Holy Spirit to rise through oneness with us, in cultivating the fruit of the Spirit, cultivating those things which produce pure light and love, and anchor those things through surrender, guess what it does? It dispels the strong-willed voice of egoic demands. See, ego always wants to demand frustration to be present, always in demand of anger and wrath and violent tendencies to be present. Have you ever noticed those that have matured in the fruit of the Spirit, those that have matured in surrender and being present, they are cool as cucumbers in situations like this. They are as calm as the still waters. They are as collected as gentleness would be standing right in front of you in its fullness. They are as long-suffering and as patient as anybody would be in that level of surrender, in the face of tragedy, in the face of rioting, in the face of war, the face of hardships and adversity. See, it's not enough to say, oh, okay, I got to do something. I don't know how many people I've talked to in Christian land. They're well-meaning. Okay. I'm not going to knock that because I too was once there. I got to do something, man. They're rioting, they're looting, they're doing something. I got to get out there and do something because, man, you know, my voice needs to be heard, or, you know, I need to get out there and try to calm the rioters, or, you know, now I've got to rush out there and be of help some kind. Listen, that's all good and well, but we need to discern. If, in fact, we want to live and move and have our being in some level of certainty, because there is a certainty, and I'll talk about that in a minute, in the midst of uncertainty, if we want to move in that, then rushing into, forcing, or pressing, or pushing into something out of frustration and fear, or just anger, and calling it righteous indignation, if we rush into something, then that tells us something. What it tells us is that ego is still prevalent and dominant in our lives. How can I say that? Because love doesn't rush into something in the face of danger without the leading of the oneness of love at the forefront. See, this is where we discern, friends. This is where we discern. Proof of that, Jesus and Lazarus. Okay, when everybody wanted him to come and raise him immediately from the dead, or even before then, and heal him before he died, right? And then afterwards, it was like, well, why don't you get over here, Jesus, and take care of your friend? And he's like, hold on a minute. I mean, if he had a If he had an iPhone, he'd be texting and saying, okay, hold on, guys. I know there's an urgency. I know you're in pain. I know that there's trauma and drama happening right where you're at. I get it. I love him just as much, if not more, than you do in the natural. Okay. Of course, he's the king of the universe, so he's going to love him more. But you get the point. So it's his good friend. So he goes, hold on a minute. I can't do this through an egoic nature. I can't do this through the leading of selfish ambition, even though I want to, and even though it's the right thing to do, right? I can't be led by my emotional stance with something that I want purely for myself, because love is selfless. Love does not demand its own way like ego does, right? There's the difference. Ego demands, love doesn't. So love waits for the right divine moment to act. And when the divine moment comes and the Father says, now is the time, that's when doors blow open. That's when favor happens. That's when you'll be led in the way and things begin to happen to where the more begins to be added to the kingdom. The greater good comes to the scene. The greater purposes of God begin to show up. But see, we're so trained in the church world, for the most part, especially certain circles with Seven Mountain theology, that says, and don't get me wrong, I'm not against that whole, the overall kind of idea of that, so to speak. I think there's some good in there, just like there is anything else. But where I think that we get challenged, let me just put it that way. We get really challenged with discerning whether something is ego to run up the mountain I think I belong in to try to take over and redeem something that God may not want to be redeemed. Then I think I would do God and myself and everyone else a favor by waiting upon the Lord until I know that he's leading me in the way. See, that's what Psalms is all about. Psalms 23 and many other places, but the Lord is my shepherd. Okay, what do shepherds do? They lead. Because if I'm led by want, if I'm led by my pure desire, which may not even be evil, but if I'm led by desire alone, if I'm led by want or need alone, then there's no nutrients in the grass that he's leading me through. In other words, the nutrients of the grass are his presence and his favor upon that particular area of my life that he's leading me towards or into. And if I get ahead of him, if I wait too long, if I look to the left or to the right, then the nutrients of the present moment is not with me. I'm yielding towards and I'm longing for and I'm in need and want mode towards the future that's not a reality yet for my life in the natural, and or the past, which is already an illusion because it's gone. Okay? So the difference is if I'm in the present moment and he says, go now, then I have the nutrients of the present now to be my empowerment to when I get to Lazarus' grave, I can say with authority and power and life-giving force, Lazarus, come forth. And the shackles of the egoic nature that's held him bound and defeated him into death begin to come off of his life or that Lazarus thing that's in front of us that we're facing, the rioting, the hatred, the anger, the wrath, will begin to fall off to pull the life-giving force of who Lazarus is, the real him, the reality of who he is, to the present moment so that resurrection power can take over and many will see it and be added and say, I gotta have that. I need that. I'm tired of this over here, ego leading the show. I want the resurrection power. I need the present moment reality of the power that's coming through those old grave clothes called ego. See, ego is like death to that which is authentic. Ooh, I'm going to say that again. Ego is death to that which is authentic and genuine. Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? That religion makes its bed in egoic ideas for the most part. Not all of it, but for the most part, there's denominationalisms that get a hold of our lives that render the Word of God not effective. Who's the Word of God? They, in other words, they render the power of the authentic nature that you are, the present moment of spirit that you are, they render that powerless, okay? Because of traditions, which is representative of ego. Ego loves to plan. Ego loves to force. Ego loves to just stay in the bed of the old. Do you ever see certain circles that live in the 70s, live in the 80s or the 90s, and they're just like, oh man, we're on the cutting edge of, okay, what? You're on the cutting edge of what? You're stuck in the 70s. You're stuck in the 80s. You're stuck in the trauma and the drama of yesterday. Yesterday, all my troubles are still at play. Yeah. So because they are, then that's what ego loves to do, is keep you locked and loaded in that which yearns to keep you in the past, yearns to pull you backwards. You ever have family members or friends that live in survival mode and uncertainty, and they're always trying to reminisce about the past? They're living in the past constantly because that's the mode that they're stuck in. That's their mode of operandi, because they don't know how to break free from survival mentalities. They don't know how to break free from the egoic nature. They just think it's the devil opposing them all the time. And so anything else that comes around them, like, don't take me out of this life because it's all I know. Survival mentality is all I know. So it would be death to my story. It would be death to who I am if you remove the survival blinders. And so when somebody comes along with a new fresh idea, or somebody comes along that's living in the present day moment of reality of the spirit and life in Christ, pure conscious love, then they're like, oh, that's new age. Oh, don't bring anything new. Everything is chapter and verse. Don't ever go outside the King James versions of the Bible. Don't ever go outside my translation of the Bible, because after all, King James, New King James, NAS, and Amplified, and all the rest, those are the real reality and the true Word of God. And so don't take me out of that. Do not take me out of my rhythm. Do not take me out of my tradition. Do not take me out of my patterns and show me anything new, because I'm scared. What is the one thing that comes forth when anybody presents something that may be an iPhone that's outside of chapter and verse? Or new idea, new invention, then they go, ooh, I'm afraid of that. I don't want to try anything new. That's what they're really saying. I don't want to try anything new because I'm afraid to look foolish, or I'm afraid I'll be deceived. Is your God that small? I'm asking a serious question. Is your God that small to where you can think you can be deceived by any little thing that comes along? What you're saying is, what ego is really saying is, the egoic nature is saying that, well, the devil's way bigger than God. If we're afraid to get deceived at every level or at any little thing that comes along, then what you're saying is your oneness with Christ is not illuminated enough to move past ego and your survival mentality to stay strong in who you are and your identity in Him. And so uncertainty is really the bedding, if you will, of ego. It's you lie down and you make your bed in it. You've made your bed and you haven't realized this. Maybe you haven't realized this. And this isn't a chastising at all, guys. This is just a speaking very straightforward and direct to something that is a major, major issue right now in the church and outside of the church, all around the planet. You're seeing every major city erupt in violence. And why is that? The big bad old devil doing all that? Well, yeah, he climbs in there when somebody opens themselves up to it, and then wrath and anger and all this. But remember where wrath and violence and outbursts of anger and dissensions and all those things are where? Galatians 5, 16 through 20, they're works of the flesh. That's works of ego. And then, you know, if somebody blasts their soul wide open to the stuff, yeah, then they're open to dark entities, okay? There's no denying that. Some evil type forces that come in there, some principalities, if you will. Okay, but it all begins in the egoic nature. And so my question to you and to the world is, how much of these people are fully possessed by demons versus frustration and egocentric drive and mindsets are leading the way. Okay. Also, I will say, because of the racial issue, there's a genuine frustration. There's a genuine concern and a genuine plea and a cry for safety from these people. And they haven't been seeing it. Meaning our brothers and sisters and our friends that are being oppressed. Our friends of color that are being oppressed. Okay. I love them. So don't take me wrong when I may misspeak a word or two here. I'm just in the moment. I'm intoxicated in the love of God. And sometimes your body can't keep up. Okay. I love my black brothers and sisters or any person of color, as well as my white brothers and sisters. Okay. I love all of humanity. And if you knew me personally, you would know that about my life. Have I had to overcome my own prejudices in the past? Of course. And so have you, if you're honest about it. And those things were just put upon me. They were placed upon me at a younger age. And that's just what happens when you walk through life. But I tell you what, the more I surrender, the more I love my fellow man, no matter what color they are, no matter where, what nationality or tribe or tongue or country or persuasion, it doesn't matter. That my heart swells as Papa swells for humanity. And if we're a Christ follower, all of us should be feeling the same way. But see, we have junk to work through. It's our ego, again, oppressing our real nature from coming forth. And so therefore we get those biases, we get those prejudices, we get those racist mindsets and mentalities, because that's just what the fallen world does around us and in us when we allow it to. That's why no amount of religious training will ever remove that kind of mindset from us. Ultimately, it may help us as a society and wane for a little bit, but real transformation comes when we surrender entirely to the present moment of life in oneness to now with love himself. Love always wins. The greatest of these is love. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. Love never fails. Love never, ever fails. And so what's going to turn this around? What's going to keep us from making our bed in uncertainty? Love. Pure love. Not just hoping you're loving, not just saying you're loving, not just thinking it in your mind like, oh, I need to love people today. No, no, no. A real total inward transformation to where all you see is love in another person. In other words, when we become light and love and anchor ourselves in the present moment in that, ego's voice begins to fall away. And the bigness of the reality of who we are in love begins to recognize and bear witness of the love that the other person is made of. Because every single person is made in the image of what? Love. Who? Love. And because every person is, we should be bearing witness with the inner man of which. We should be looking deeper than the outward surface of frustration and anger and wrath and violence, and look down underneath of that and see with the eyes of love that is my brother and that is my sister, because they're made out of the same substance. Love. You take away the outside of everything and you go underneath. It's all love, baby. It's all love. So I realize that you may be angry. I realize that you may be frustrated. I realize that you may just want to pop somebody's head like a zit. Okay. But let me just challenge you with all of what I just said. Is that the more we give that thing fuel called ego, the more we feed it, the more we fuel it, the more we want to go do something. I got to do something in justice. I feel this justice thing rising in me. And so I've got to prophesy it out. I've got to decree it. I've got to come up with some new fancy prophetic word to blast it out so that somebody can call upon me, so that I can go out there and be the voice of justice to the world right now. Listen, I wouldn't be doing that any more than I would be just sitting at home waiting. You know, because the moment we give in to that, the chances are we could be moving and operating out of an egoic stance that has consequences, friends. In other words, if you pick up a sword to go after an eye, eye for an eye, then you might just get the sword right back. Let me put it another way. You pick up a brick because you want to join into the cause, and you hurl that brick at a window. You never know what's waiting for you on the other side of that window. You know what I'm saying? You could get a brick to the back of the head. All because you move forward in, I've got to do something mentality. You would be better off, I would suggest this to you, that you would be better off waiting upon the Lord and only do those things which you see your Father love do. And what does love do? It does not demand its own way. That's what ego does. That's what my impulses through addictive behaviors from my past, the animalistic nature of who I once was, wants to get me to do is enter into violent tendencies. You know what? I come from a background, okay, that loves to fight in the natural. I was a fighter, man. I was a scrapper in the natural. And it's real easy. If I allow ego to raise its head again in my life, it's really easy to listen to that voice and listen to that whisper and then the loudness of that voice, if I allow it, to say, hey, why don't you go join in over there and do something? Why don't you go do something about it? Why don't you go raise your voice, since you have a voice, to thunder? Why don't you go be Thor and thunder? You know what I'm saying? And real easy to let that fighting warfare nature come up and go do something in the name of the Lord. I know you feel that it's an honorable thing out of the quote great commission to go out there and commission your bad self to go out there and take care of business. You know what I'm saying? But listen, I would highly, highly suggest to not allow ego to run your show. Let love win the day. Let love be anchored. Let light be anchored in you surrendering to the present day moment of who you are. And then the voice of love will rise and say, hey, have you ever thought about this? And a brand new idea comes up to be a voice. And that voice will penetrate the hardness of hurting hearts. And all of a sudden, you would see more change and transformation in a 5-day period than you would in 5 months or 5 years. You pick up a brick, you pick up a bottle, you pick up a Molotov cocktail, and you go out there and start going at it. Yeah, okay. How's that working out for you? If someone's listening to me and they're ready to go do something crazy, I would just ask you, when you're all done with your madness, how's that working out for you? Now, again, guys, I am not minimizing the frustration of my brothers and sisters that have had decades and years and hundreds of years of pain come through their line, and enough is enough. And they're tired of the brutality. They're tired of the insanity. And so they're saying, hey, you know what? We've got to do something. And this is what it culminates in, is because if you're not listened to and you're full of pain, something's going to come out somewhere. A brick is going to enter a hand, and it's the only way I can release, because nobody is genuinely listening to me. This is how crazy things happen, guys. This is how violent tendencies take place, because you push somebody to the limits, and I don't care how spiritual you are, they will snap on a dime and all of their past will come rushing in, and it will say, I need justice and I need it now. And they'll take a brick to somebody's face. And listen, that is never the way, ultimately never the way of Christ. Okay? When Peter picked up the sword and went to town with the ear, Jesus said, you don't know how much of your pain has entered into ego's stance, Peter. You don't realize how powerful your egoic nature is. And I realize you want justice. I know that you're hurting. I know that you're full of pain. I know that you feel rejected and abandoned right now. But Peter, it's not the way. This has been prophesied. Okay. So in the midst of all of the pain rising right now and all of the uncertainty, friends, trust me, there, better yet, trust the Lord, is there is a certainty. And the only place there is certainty is in the present now, living life in the present moment. That's the only place where there is no real wants or needs or desires, because everything's met living in Him in the moment. And if we live our lives in the moment, every moment, by surrender, surrendering to the moment, then that voice begins to fade that wants to get us to do something that we know is against our real nature. The violence, the anger, the wrath, all of those things that breed and brood chaos and pain for not only your life, but many, many others. When anyone picks up a brick, when anyone picks up a Molotov cup, when anyone picks up a crowbar, it just entered into a new place of being not just you anymore. You're involving many more people that has a rippling effect. You think it's just about you, but when it comes to that level, now you're dealing with the person that owns the store, the person that owns the business, the workers that work there. Maybe, just maybe, you are so caught up in the craziness that you just destroyed your own place of work and didn't even realize it. They were getting ready to call you back to work next week. Phase three, baby. And you were about ready to get a promotion, and you just took part in destroying the very place that was going to give you blessing. And you may be thinking, I don't give a rip. You know, I don't care. When it's all said and done, you come out of your psychosis, what's going to happen is you're going to realize some things. The 27-year-old girl that's just got charged with attempted murder for throwing a Molotov cocktail into a police cruiser or some type of police vehicle, and they're charging her with attempted murder, she's going to wake up out of this cloaking, egoic cloaking that drove her to insanity, and guess what? She's going to have a bad, bad day and a bad headache. See, everything has consequences, friends. There is a way to peacefully transform a society. There's a way to bring love onto the scene and anchor that love like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. See, light and love will always transform, but bricks and Molotov cocktails will take us down an egoic road of destruction. The wages of sin is death. Okay? The wages of my own choices have devastating effects. Still in the new covenant, guys. We're talking new wineskin realities for all you finished work peeps out there. There's still consequences to your actions. It's not God sitting up there with a hammer. It never has been. Waiting to punish you from, okay, you've sown. Now I'm going to give you a big smackdown of reaping. No, we do it to ourselves because of our own lower nature. You run a red light, I've said this many times, you run it long enough, you're going to blast somebody right in the side of their vehicle, and it'll be no longer about your selfish self. It's always about somebody else that the consequences flow downhill to. So I will say this, that while we're in the midst of great pain, and there's this grieving for my brothers and sisters that have been oppressed and have been abused and brutalized and snuffed out because of the skin color. It's very, very grieving, to say the least. There's no words because Jesus doesn't play that game. We know that He died for all, and He's the one that created all. So we get these biases because, again, from our own upbringing, from our own the lens that we look through, that gives us our worldview, that gives us our own egoic stance that we love to make our bed in, because after all, I'm right and you're wrong. This is how I see it. This is how I was raised. How many times have you seen that in certain people groups? They're raised a certain way and they just think that that is 100% true reality. And for them, it is. Because that's their level of truth. And I've said this to religious peeps, and they don't quite understand, although it's quite simple to those that have been awakened, is when I say, we all have different levels of understanding and levels of the way we see truth. And like, well, what do you mean there's levels of truth? Oh yeah, tell that to Jesus. Jesus has levels of Jesus. Again, you're blinded and you're missing the point. The point is that we all have maturity levels of growth that we are walking in, and we grow as we go. And when we grow, we have a certain level of understanding in that growth period. How many of you can honestly say that a year ago, you believed something that you don't quite believe now? Why? Because you grew into it. The revelation came. You read the scripture differently. It was illuminated to you differently. Or your best friend called the word himself illuminated something to your understanding. You're like, whoa, I see it much differently now. I see a different side to it. I see the north, the south, the east, and the west. I was only seeing the west and the south before. Now I'm seeing the full spectrum of the compass of Christ and what he's revealing to me now. And so those things, actually, when we grow in maturity, they bring certainty at another level. Why? Because when we're living in the now, we begin to understand that, oh, the only safe place there is to be is in the moment. That's the only safe place. You can walk far and wide, and you can take a jet plane to the far ends of the earth and try to hide in the jungle. I guarantee you, if that's not where Spirit led you, then your ego may get eaten alive literally by some rogue leopard in the jungle. Do you know what I'm saying? Of course you do. Somebody's laughing their head off right now because you understand what I just said. But if you're living in the present moment of your life in Christ in the now, then you can ride that wave, baby, all day long and not get tired. Not get frustrated and angry and let your wrath show all the way from your head to your toes into the flow of that surf boat. You will be flying down that wave, and inside the love hole of that wave from mile after mile, and not even get winded. Why? Because you're in the present moment of letting go and surrendering to each and every breath of who you are. I'm telling you, when you practice this, it is a discipline. Yeah, but the more you surrender to the moment, the more it becomes real and alive, and the more uncertainty begins to fade, and the certainty of who he is in you and you in him, you'll be able to move mountains and fly high on the flow of effortless ability in him. So yeah, we are in uncertain times if you live in ego and you live in the illusion of the past and the future, then you will be uncertain constantly and you will have doubt. You will have confusion. You will have fear wreaking havoc in your life. But if you train yourself and allow yourself to surrender each and every moment and ride the wave of flow and effortless ability of empowerment of the Spirit by just surrendering to the present now, let your mind sit on a shelf for a while and you'll begin to feel this surge of energy, this laughter and this joy rise up in you like you've never known. That's what joy unspeakable and full of glory is, when you lean not unto your own understanding. When you lean not unto your own understanding, then the reality you face is an unspeakable joy that's full of glory. That's how unspeakable joy comes. That's how an explosion of laughter and intoxicated. Man, oftentimes when I'm on this and I give messages, I'm intoxicated. And I just open myself wide to the present moment and Christ just speaks through me. I leaned into the oneness and he just flows. People have asked me how I can just prophesy for hours. Well, that's how, is by leaning into the present moment, taking my mind out and sitting it on the shelf, so to speak. Okay, metaphorically, sitting it on the shelf and allowing the bigness of the moment to take over. And then the oneness of who Christ is begins to speak. And he says, thank you very much. I just stepped through you and now it's me speaking. Because I can't do this on my own. Are you kidding me? I'm not looking at any notes. I haven't studied anything. Just open myself up to the present moment and out comes the flow. You want to move and live and have your being in a power and a wisdom that's not from you, that's otherworldly, that is supernatural. And it let it come to you in the moment. That's how you do it. Live surrendered life. Live a surrendered life to the moment and watch what flows out of your life. You will see amazing things start to happen. Anyhow, I'm going to leave it right there. So just remember, in the uncertainty of the natural realm, there is certainly a place of certainty. And it's just that. Present moment living. Love you. We will talk soon. Thank you for listening.